Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call Cal Hope at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
From labradoodles to cronuts, the world loves a hybrid. So today, businesses are taking a smarter hybrid cloud approach, using the tools, platform, and expertise of IBM. The world is going hybrid with IBM. Visit ibm.com/hybridcloud.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Championship week is here on Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Pisapia and Craig Mish recapping Monday Night Football and your first look ahead to the weekend. Fantasy Sports Today starts now.
Fantasy Sports Today.
The middle, pass is caught by Owens. Owens made the catch. Pass is caught. Diggs, sideline, touchdown. Unbelievable. Toss to White. He's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl.
And welcome in. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Joe Pisapia with you here on the show. It's Tuesday, December 17th, 2019. At Craig Mish on Twitter, at Joe Pisapia 17. Sean Guastamacchia is producing the show as we are getting ready for a huge weekend in fantasy football. For those of you who made it to the championship after last night, congratulations. Get ready because three games on Saturday, games on Sunday, Monday night. And Joe, I guess it's pretty easy to see as to what happened if you let your semifinal game go down to Monday Night Football last night. Pretty evident. If you had Drew Brees and Michael Thomas and you were down, or you were close, or you were up, you're a champion today. And if you were counting on anything from the Indianapolis Colts, you're going home for the football postseason. That was pretty much the story.
Yeah, pretty much. That was the story. Brissett did not play well in that game. He overthrew a lot of guys and just didn't look sharp. He just didn't seem like, I don't know, maybe just out of flow, maybe just the building, maybe his nerves, maybe it's just the end of the season kind of creeping up on everybody, but it was not a good effort from him, even though they had T.Y. Hilton back. And his QB rating with and without T.Y. Hilton is stark, and it's something everybody should pay attention to going into next year, making sure if T.Y. is there or if they add some more pieces that Brissett's value in the second quarterback league is really tied into the weapons around him. And if they continue to surround him with good weapons like T.Y. and a healthy Marlon Mack, then you're probably in a good shape with him as a QB2 or at least a floater guy, depending on the depth of your league. But it was all about Drew Brees last night. 29-30, 307, four touchdowns, and goes to number one on the all-time passing touchdowns list. An incredible longevity of career, an incredible run for a guy who was undersized, who people thought wouldn't merely make it in the NFL. I remember when I was actually really hot into college football, I used to love to watch him play at Purdue. He would grow up in that shotgun and he would have five wide receivers and he was just slinging the ball over the place. And I think it was, man, this guy's going to be so much fun when he gets in the NFL. And he's been absolutely that. And Michael Thomas, too, 12 for 128 and a touchdown. It's funny, Craig, when you watch these games, it seems like every defense should just pretty much try to double team him, figures out something, because anytime you play zone against Michael Thomas, he just runs that route, sits into that little soft area in between everybody and just catches footballs all day. You would think, with all these yards and all these catches, that somebody would try to double him or do something to stop Michael Thomas.
Yeah, I think that going into 2020, he's probably the safest first-round pick of anybody in the draft.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't think that Michael Thomas is going to win you leagues, but he is going to score a touchdown almost every week. He's going to have eight catches for 95, 100 yards almost every week, and it's like you can't go wrong. And look, everyone's going to covet the running backs next season for sure. Look, McCaffrey is going to be the number one overall pick in the draft, as he should be. I mean, regardless of who comes in to coach, I would think someone is going to scale him back a little bit, even 5% or 10%. They're going to have to keep this guy alive.
But after Drew Brees, like you, I'm sorry, after a McCaffrey, you really can make the case that
hey,
if you don't know what to do, just take Michael Thomas. And even if in the first pick overall, if you don't know what to do, just take Michael Thomas. You're probably going to be okay.
Well, I'm very much for it. And I know when we did the first round a couple of weeks ago, you had Cook at three, Thomas, Cook at two, Thomas at three, and I had it inverted. And the argument I'm making is if you take Michael Thomas with the two or even number one overall pick, if you're just really worried about the workload of Christian McCaffrey, that is fair. If you're worried about what's the new offense going to be, they can ease up on him, that's fair. You can have trepidation about that. I think you know exactly what you're getting on a week-to-week basis with Michael Thomas. And I think what it allows you to do is double up on running back, which I think is, in a lot of ways, a nicer strategy because then you've got a situation at full point PPR where you always have more of these running backs that become relevant, whether it be the Austin Ecklers and James Whites of the world who actually show up and catch a lot of passes every year. If you went to war with Michael Thomas next year and then came away in the second round with, I'm trying to think like those guys are on the bubble, let's say a Josh Jacobs and maybe a bounce back Le'Veon Bell somewhere. I mean, there's options there. Maybe you go young there with, maybe you'll get like a Chris Carson and a Josh Jacobs, or maybe you get if Kenyon Drake ends up somewhere decent and you really like him. All I'm saying is I think going with the one wide receiver at the top and then the two running backs, that's a heck of a start to a team, I think, Craig.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I still think Cook will be two overall, but I definitely could make the case for Thomas one overall. It just depends on, like, if you're playing in the NFFC, it's probably going to be a running back. But if you play, you know, where you can make all kinds of moves and trades and everything else, it may not be a bad idea to go with Thomas. It's more of a risk versus reward type thing. And in terms of the Saints, Joe, I mean, look, they have me sold on getting probably to the NFC Championship. Like, they're going to win a few games. But, you know, I'm going into the playoffs here, not really sure knowing anything about anybody. I feel like the Ravens are far and away the best team. They've played the best all season long. I mean, they're going to have home field advantage. They got the best player in Lamar Jackson. But look, I could see the Saints going to the Super Bowl. I could see the Saints getting knocked out in the first round. It's so bizarre. Yeah. The NFC.
Isn't that everybody in the NFC, though, to a certain extent? Can't you see that?
Yeah.
I feel like
yeah.
That's kind of the Seahawks week to week. That's been the 49ers of late down the stretch. I'll say this. You know, the Saints have, I think, the best overall package to offer you in terms of if you're wagering who's going to make it to the Super Bowl from the NFC. The Saints, to me, were the number one NFC team. And then the last couple of weeks, I got a little worried about that statement. I've been very worried about it. Now, beating the Colts doesn't make me feel all warm and fuzzy. It was nice to have a very commanding victory. That game was pretty much done at halftime. But, man, I think a lot of it's going to come to who's playing where. And when everything shakes out with all these seeds, and I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit tomorrow, but I think a lot of it's going to come down to that. If I told you that the Saints ended up playing every game in the playoffs in their building,
no, it wouldn't matter. Nah, San Francisco went in and beat them. No, I don't think that that's it. It's if will their defense show up, and if
that's
they
true.
If they play against a team that has some offensive weapons, I mean the thing is that in all likelihood. If I had to guess, and this kind of speaks to what happened with the Saints and Vikings a couple of years ago. And by the way, with the Saints and Rams, was it last year? Yeah, it's the same thing every
Saints
year.
And, Rams,
Saints.
Yep.
And Saints and Vikings 2 years ago, where the guy went low, Diggs went high, yep. Scored a touchdown. It's going to come down to the Saints, whether they get to the Super Bowl or not in the last minute of some game in the NFC Championship. Can they stop a team?
They've had injury. Like, Kiko Alonso is out, and I know they've missed him over there. They had some injuries also in the secondary, and they added Janoris Jenkins, who got let go by the Giants last week. I don't know how much he's going to help, but it's another veteran guy. Eli Apple has not played well this year. I mean, as good as Lattimore's been, I think is as bad as Eli Apple's been. And I think that's how you attack that defense. You go whoever, if you have more than one wide receiver that you could throw the ball to. I think that's why the Colts struggled. And I think that's why San Francisco excelled, because they have confidence in their tight end and they have confidence in Debo and they have confidence in Emmanuel Sanders. So having multiple guys instead of just the one dude, I think that really goes against the Saints' strength. And now Seattle looks like they're going to be down another wide receiver. So we'll see what happens here. But it's going to be a fun playoff race because I do believe these NFC teams are very close. And I agree with you 100% that Baltimore is the class of the NFL right now. And I think the only team, or should I say the team that has the best chance of beating them, is actually the Chiefs, because Mahomes can make magical things happen. He is such an incredible talent. And I think if you get into a score fest with him, he has a puncher's chance.
Super Bowl, also wacky things happen. You don't necessarily know. But yeah, I do think... I feel like the Saints season's going to play out like the way that the last two have, where we'll be in a game. It'll be 2 minutes left. The score will be tied. you know, like it always is. And then something happens and it'll either be good or it'll be bad for the Saints. But they don't, you know, they don't really put a lot of teams away. If they're always like in all these games because their defense hasn't played great.
They give up big plays more. That's, you know, it's funny. You look at the way it happens too. It's always big plays. And that's been the thing. It was that game against the Rams, even in the regular season last year, which was a really fun game, but big play after big play. And every time, you know, the Saints would come back and answer, they give up another big play, and you just can't do that. You just can't. It just takes the air out of the building.
Play well against Carolina a couple weeks ago. They gave up 31 points to them, and that was, you know, with Kyle Allen not playing well, they still gave up a ton of points. So
some team is going to get hot here.
I don't know who it is, but somebody's
going to get hot. Maybe it is the Saints. We'll find out.
Maybe. I mean, they'll go far. It's just a matter of do they get all the way, I think, is the question. All right, the opening drive is coming up next. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and Joe with you. Don't go away.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHOPE, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHOPE at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere. These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of CalHOPE, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia. Fantasy Sports Today presents
first play from scrimmage.
The opening drive.
The first play of the game.
Cut the opening play and all the way for a touchdown.
And welcome back. This is the opening drive on Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Joe Pisapia with you here on the show. We're going to dive into a little baseball coming up soon. We had some signings, actually, last night to get to, so we'll talk about that as well. But we start off with some football, and yeah, I mean, it's the story that just it pops up every year pretty much, I feel like. And you know, people are saying this is the end, but I don't know if it really is because it's never really the end with this guy, but Josh Gordon suspended again for both PED and substance abuse use. Look, it's Josh Gordon. Joe has a sickness. There's no question about that at this point. You know, Patriots got out from under this early on. I don't know that, they kind of do need him, but you know, obviously they.
Well, that tells you a lot, right? When we all look at each other, why are they letting go of Josh Gordon?
Yeah, they obviously knew something was
happening. They knew something was happening. They had rumblings or they talked to him and said, listen, you need to get yourself straight. Whatever it was, something came back. It wasn't about the rehab. Everybody was saying, oh, it's this or that. Mm-mm. When a team needs something and lets a guy go at a need position, there's something up. And look, they gave him a second chance, too. And it's sad. You're right. I mean, I hope he gets help. I hope he gets right. And marijuana is one thing. PEDs and all the other things, that's another. It just seems like he has so many issues that he just needs to take care of. But I think you would say he's done now, right? I mean, this is it. That was like,
I don't know. I never say it's it with him because I thought XFL? Last time was it. I mean, maybe. I mean, that's not total. I wouldn't rule that out completely. But, you know, look, the problem is that it's not that. Well, look, the abuse is the big problem, but he's also getting older now. So it's a little different when he was 26 or 25. Now he's getting to the point where, you know, missing another year, you know, coming back in 2 years, he already doesn't look like the same guy. He kind of looks like a tight end now. He doesn't look like a receiver anymore. But
did have a big catch on Sunday, though.
He did.
Flash of these moments where you go, wow. And you remember, you know, that the heyday was at 2015, the one big year.
I had him that year at the end of the year, rode him all the way to the championship.
He was incredible to watch. I mean, he was blowing guys away. low and pass corners, making great catches.
With no quarterback.
No. Well, it was Hoyer, right? Wasn't it Hoyer there?
Whoever it was not a good quarterback.
I think it was Hoyer, which is funny. We always say that. And then DeAndre Hopkins had really good years with Hoyer. And everyone wants to crap on Brian Hoyer. But you know what? Hoyer was okay. He's better than a lot of other backups out there in the league. I can tell you that much.
Well, he came in this year. Didn't look so good.
No, he did not.
So Seattle will be fine. They won't miss it. By the way, Gordon threw an interception. I don't know if you saw that last week, too. But so a sad story coming to an end for sure. And fantasy unfulfilled, no doubt. Deion Waiters, speaking of which, on second down, was on a plane, took a gummy that had cannabis or whatever it was, and freaked out a little bit mentally, physically, was suspended for that. The Heat, Miami Heat, suspended him again, Joe, and this time they suspended him because he called out sick and then posted a photo of him on a boat. And look, Waiters is making so much money, they can keep suspending him. I think he's making like $15 million or $17 million. They can keep suspending him. And what's funny is here in South Florida, Heat fans are like, why doesn't he just give his money up so he can go play somewhere else? And like, that's like the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, Deion Waiters is going to just keep saying, suspend me as much as you want, and I'll keep cashing my checks. And it's kind of sad because the Heat's been like the best team in the Eastern Conference this year. And if Waiters had his act together, he could be a contributor to that team. And I don't think we see him on the court with the Heat at all.
It's always astounding to me. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's always a more complicated issue, but it's always astounding to me. You've been around sports your whole life. So have I. How difficult it is to make it in professional sports. It goes with Gordon. It goes with the situation with Deion Waiters. It's very difficult. It's hours and years and of just training and playing and going from practice to practice and performance and this and injuries and all the work you have to do to get to this spot. And then when you finally get there, maybe it's just a matter of maybe it's not their dream after all. Maybe it's just something that it becomes their identity, and then they just don't want to do it anymore, but they're good at it, so they keep doing it, but they really not, their heart's not in it, and they're unhappy. I don't know what it is, but it's this bigger issue with some of these guys. And meanwhile, we know, because you see those shows about those undrafted free agents on NFL Network and those other guys who are, you know, playing in the, you know, the D League, who just are dying to get a shot at the NBA or dying to get a shot in the NFL, and other guys who have that opportunity just blowing it and wasting it. It blows my mind how much work you will do to get to a place. And yeah, I guess you get paid, so I guess that's part of it, but oh man, I just like, what was all those years of hard work for?
Yeah, it's a shame. And by the way, he worked really hard this offseason to get in shape. He was posting all kinds of pictures of him, slimming down. And look, I just the Heat's not going to bring this guy into the mix when they're 20 games over 500, and this guy's a distraction. But they can't cut him. I mean,
why is everybody on a boat too?
That is weird. That is.
Did
weird.
Everyone just watch Step Brothers one too many times and just feels like, yep, that's it. That's the way to go.
I guess so. Not the sharpest guy, that's for sure.
Nope.
Okay, so here's third down. Urban Meyer shows up to watch the Redskins and Eagles over the weekend. Mm. And a lot of people thought he was there to see Dwayne Haskins, his former quarterback at Ohio State. But Terry McLaurin, after the game, was the one that said that he was the one that invited Urban Meyer to see the game, of course, because he played at Ohio State as well. Meyer, after the game, also said that he knew that after the game that people would ask, would it be, you know, that he's going to the Redskins? And he basically said, look, it has absolutely nothing to do with that. Now, Joe, it's interesting because USC has decided to retain Clay Helton. USC finished the season very strong, I believe winning 5 out of their last 6 games. They're going to give him another opportunity. And as you know, Urban Meyer has his opportunity to coach wherever he wants to any open spot, but he's already let the spots in the SEC go by, which is Mississippi, and he's not going to coach at Arkansas, Missouri. So, I mean, Urban Meyer is a coach that waits for the top job in all of college, or maybe even a pro job, but it looks like we're leaning toward Meyer not coaching again, really enjoying the media stuff. But he certainly will have his pick of wherever he wants to go, if he decides he wants to go back, Joe.
Well, how long was he coaching? 30 years, probably, when all said and done? Something close to that, right?
I mean, forever. He coached at Utah.
Probably assistant in his 20s. No, but I'm saying, like, just in his life, like, probably since out of college, practically, right? Like, he was probably an assistant, like all these other guys, and working their way up. You know, at this point, if he enjoys the lifestyle of, you know, doing broadcast stuff and making appearances, I wouldn't blame him, man. College coaching is tough. The recruitment process, all those things. Not that pros isn't, but the pressure of college is just ridiculously tough, I think. And I'll tell you what, I mean, understanding the fact that he's got some of the guys that he's familiar with in a place already, I can understand people putting those puzzles together and, you know, those pieces and making a picture out of it. I get it. But if you're Urban Meyer, you want to work for Snyder? Like, I mean, I don't know if anybody can save the Redskins. I kind of sit there and you wonder, and you think about some of the great coaches, if they were able to hire a John Harbaugh, or they were able to hire a Sean Payton, or, you know, somebody like that at some point. I mean, is anyone capable of saving this franchise?
Hey, look, Schottenheimer was a good coach that went there and failed. Shanahan was a good coach that went there and failed.
Well, he succeeded a little bit. They did make the playoffs with Shanahan, and then the RG3 saga happened, and then that all disintegrated. Yeah. So he did make the playoffs. I mean, that's not very often that happens, but they were in a playoff game with RG3, and then everything.
I think Meyer should just wait for the best college gig to come up.
What might that be? Because you're Mr. College Football. Do you have an idea of where that could be potentially?
Trying to think of
it. Would he want to be in the SEC? Is it better for him to?
No, I don't know. Well, he wants to be at the top place possible. I mean, he went from Florida to Ohio State. Like, Ohio State is the pinnacle.
Right, but I'm just saying that's not a different conference. That's why I'm asking. Like, I'm wondering.
Wherever the top. Look, Dabo Swinney isn't leaving Clemson anytime soon.
No, God, no.
And he can't go LSU back.
LSU coach
can't go
isn't
back
going
to
anywhere.
Ohio State. Right. LSU's not. Alabama's not. You know, Penn State. I mean, they just extended him to Franklin. So no, I don't. I mean, nothing comes to my USC was the one because that's like a school that could go to prominence. Notre Dame for sure, no doubt about that.
Now that's interesting. Notre Dame would be interesting. I mean,
yeah, but you know, Brian Kelly's like kind of. I mean, they're good every year.
Kelly's done a good job there. He's made them.
They're winning 10 games. They go to big bowl games. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I mean, USC was really.
Can't imagine going to a school like Notre Dame though, just because of you know, much harder to bend the rules at Notre Dame than other places, which is why.
He was at Notre Dame.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm saying when was that? That was... What year was that?
He was there. He was an assistant coach.
Assistant, but I'm just... He knows. So he knows. He knows it's harder. You know, the standards are higher.
But that would be his prime gig, I think. That one, to me, is the most realistic of all the other ones, because all it would require would be Kelly having one or two bad years. He should sit out. He should probably sit out and wait and see what happens you know, next year. Florida State, by the way, he wasn't interested in at all. And then finally on fourth down, Star Wars spoilers in Germany. They're saying that if you deliver Star Wars spoilers to Burger King, they give you a free Whopper. Is that worth it, Joe?
Deliver Star Wars spoilers? What do you mean? Explain this to me. Like you go in there and you go order and you say, give me a side of fries.
And you tell them what's going to happen in the movie. And then they give you I saw the movie and here's what happened. And then they give you a free Whopper. Yeah.
Why would they want to do that?
Just listen, this is why I included it in the show. One of the more bizarre.
I know, but I can't understand this. Like, if you came in and spoiled it for me, I would tell you to get out of my Burger King.
They want the spoilers. They do. Have you bought your tickets for that, by the way?
No, I don't like to go the opening week. It's too crazy around the holidays and all that stuff. I go after Christmas where it dies down a little bit. Are you going? You're not going this weekend with all that football on? No way.
It's not open this weekend, is it?
It's on Friday night.
Oh, it's this Friday?
Yeah, that's what I mean. They always do this. They do this like the Friday before Christmas, and it's just like, you know, I just can't. You know, you got two kids, you got a million jobs, you got all this stuff going. I got a book coming out in a couple weeks.
I don't have tickets, but I'm going to have to. I mean, my wife is going away this weekend. I don't know if I'm going to be able to see it, but.
Is she taking the children with her? That is the question.
Well, my son is staying, and my daughter's going with her to New York for a trip. So
now, has your son seen the Star Wars movies?
I don't think he could do this. I don't think so.
But has he seen the Star Wars movies?
We started a little bit, but we didn't make it through. Yeah, we have to go back and watch it. All right, that's the opening drive. We'll be back with some baseball talk. Don't go away.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of CalHOPE, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. HOPE will persevere. These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHOPE, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHOPE at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS line combinations and build stacks for tournaments in the Daily Roto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you're playing daily fantasy hockey without using Daily Roto, you're doing it wrong. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRoto.com is where millionaires are made. Welcome back to the show. Craig and Joe with you here on the program. And we're going to do some hot stove stock up, stock down based on trades, based on movement. And hopefully we're able to cover everything here. If not, we'll continue on next segment or maybe even tomorrow. But first, we did have a couple of pieces of news yesterday in fantasy. Avisail Garcia signs a 2-year deal with the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, Joe, they have Christian Yelich and they have Lorenzo Cain in the outfield. They also have Ryan Braun. So the thought process here is that Braun, for both fantasy and reality, is going to give you some outfield first base eligibility. Braun's going to move to first. And Garcia moves to the outfield. And Joe, for the Brewers, they won't characterize this as a desperate move, but make no mistake about it, it is. They've lost a lot of offense this offseason, and specifically losing Grandal and some other pieces, Grisham, they traded. So, Garcia's a nice, I guess, filler for a couple of years until they decide what to do permanently there. He's coming off a great year, without a doubt. And I know a lot of other teams were in on him, but 2 years and $20 million seems fair for the kind of numbers that he had there. And he's going to a good division to hit in as well.
Yeah, much better ballpark factor at home for sure, especially for power. So that's a big positive. And look, Avisail, the recent version of Avisail has been very good. I know 2018 he had some injuries and whatnot, but you go back and look at that 2017 season where he was .330 with a .380 OBP. That's a hell of a season there. And look, is he going to be a 30 home run guy? Probably not. But if he can get into that 20s range instead of just kind of maxing out at 20, I think that's a very exciting possibility there. If playing time is going to be something he sees a ton of, I think that's very exciting too, because sometimes you and I both know the Rays like to play rotations and the Rays like to play lefties and righties and platoons and this guy and that guy and this guy versus that guy at this time of day and all that crap. But at 28 years old, you're getting a guy in his peak. You're getting a guy who has opportunities here to, I think, impact this lineup. And personally, I think it's a really nice little signing. It doesn't cost him a lot of money. It helps out a little bit, fill the void. And I don't think he's going to have the power that Moustakas is going to have, but he's going to have a better OBP and probably some better batting average. So I think it might be just a different way for the Brewers to make some offense there. And I don't know if the Brewers are done yet. I think they got another move in them, too.
Yeah, hopefully so. I mean, tough to lose Grandal and Moustakas.
Well, they signed Lindblom, too, last week. I don't know if you caught that. I know that's kind of one of those moves that went under the radar, but that was a guy
who... Their offense is what I'm talking
about. No, I'm just saying, like, they're doing a lot of kind of under the radar stuff. Maybe that's where they are financially, but Lindblom had a phenomenal season in Korea. Does that translate? I don't know, but it's one of those things to keep an eye on in those deeper leagues or best ball leagues where you throw a dollar, you throw a last round pick on a guy like that. And if he ends up being good, Mikolas was good that first year. You can certainly look to some of those guys who have left, had success in other leagues and come back and been okay. That's another guy. So I think the Brewers are, they're doing work. They're getting it done.
Yeah, I mean, Merrill Kelly was pretty good at the end last year for Arizona. I think he came over. Sergio Romo re-signs with the Twins. Now, I don't know that he'd be the primary closer with the Twins this year. Of course, they have Rodgers, and they have some other pieces there, Joe, for Minnesota. But I guess in an AL-only league, you're probably going to have to spend a few bucks to speculate there on Romo because he can pitch the ninth. Of course, he pitched the ninth with Miami, went to Minnesota, was more of the eighth guy, but did close some games too. 1 year, $5 million for him, and mixed league probably left at the end of a draft. But it's worth investing a buck or two in because you never know; he could end up with 15 saves.
I think it tells you they're not going to get Betances. I think they're out of that running, whatever that price is. I think that's the biggest takeaway from this. Taylor Rogers was the closer, for the bulk of last year. Trevor May's pretty good arm in that bullpen, but I think it's always good to have a veteran who's, Sergio Romo's blown a lot of big saves in his career, but he's also saved a lot of big games. So I think whenever you bring in somebody, you always say it best, relievers are year to year. You can have a guy who's a great year, next year's terrible, and vice versa. I think you look at that with Sergio Romo and you go, all right, at least this guy has closing experience if there's an injury, if somebody just really falls apart. And Rogers might, because Rogers is not one of these guys that really puts guys away. I think you can look at Sergio Romo and say, hey, you know what? Let's go in there and look, he saved 20 games last year. If I told you he saved 20 games this year, would it shock you?
Yeah, you would take it. I think that probably his over-under is probably less than that now going to Minnesota, not having the ninth in Miami. But I would say, 14 and a half would probably be the number I would set for saves for him this year. Somebody before the season last year told me if the Astros made Wade Miley into a thing, they give up. That's what some baseball person told me because Wade Miley, of course, I mean, that guy was I know he had a good year in Milwaukee.
I'm with you. Here's the Wade Miley thing. You ready? This is, you know, the cycle where you see the cycle of, you know, the Antonio Brown cycle and all the other cycles. Wade Miley cycle. He's terrible. He's awful. He's terrible. He has one really good start. You pick him up. He has another good start on your bench. You start him the next week. He sucks. He sucks again. You drop him to the waiver wire. He sucks. He sucks. And then it goes all around again.
Yeah. And he signed with the Reds. You know, they need innings, okay? Because again, they have a lot of young kids. But I'm not going to have any interest in this at all. I mean, good for the Reds that they show their commitment to winning and spending money on their team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I don't want Astros leftovers, man.
The Reds smell blood in that division, don't you think, Craig? With Pittsburgh and with the Cubs kind of in a weird place.
Of course they do. I don't think they have enough to win it. They have enough to win. I mean, I think the points bet had the numbers out. I think that they were like in the 70s. Their win total 78, 77.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. If they hang on to Castillo I'm just saying, I've got to think of the things that happen for them to compete. Moustakas and Suarez have big years. Senzel and Winker finally develop into the players they think they could be. You could see them competing because stranger things have happened.
No, for sure. It's just
I'm trying to think of what last year.
The thing that has to happen next year is very simple, is that their number two starter needs to be an ace, and it's Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer has to be fantastic.
And he can also be
Trevor Bauer with the Reds last year, who was brutal.
Here's a quick note on Wade Miley to close the book out on him. This is that classic thing that the noob fantasy player will do, which is they'll look at last year and they'll go, oh, he had an ERA under 4 in the American League and he won 14 games. He'll be a good pitcher for me. No, he won't. Those are not the stats that you want to take away. And those stats that you're looking at to try to convince yourself of Wade Miley are the stats that are going to burn you. Because he is not going to win 14 games probably for the Reds. It's a very different team, very different offense, very different situation. He's going from one of the best teams, if not the best team in baseball, to a team that's still kind of retooling. And that's a big difference and a very home run friendly ballpark too. So be very careful of Wade Miley. I would avoid him. I agree.
The Astros, by the way, did sign Joe Smith to a 2-year deal. That's somebody I wanted Miami to get. I thought he'd be good. But speaking of the Astros, really interesting, Joe, how they are not really doing a lot. they're kind of just, I feel like they're in purgatory here waiting for their sanctions to come down.
They are.
It's got to be because, I mean, you think about the pitching that's been removed from that team going back a couple of years, Keuchel, Morton. Now, look, say what you want about Miley. He was good for Houston. So, I mean, that's three starters over 2 years gone. And then, of course, the best of all in Gerrit Cole. I mean, so that's 4/5 of a rotation gone. And you would think that Houston would jump back in and we'd be hearing a name, like the guy you mentioned, Lindblom, like some name. Oh, the Astros are going to fix this guy and make him into Gerrit Cole or make him into Charlie Morton. They haven't done it. I don't think they can. I think they got to wait. But Joe Smith, I thought, was a good signing for them.
Joe Smith's had a good career. I remember when he came up with the Mets, I was like, this kid's really good. He shows up in good spots. He's a smart kid, smart pitcher. It doesn't have the devastating stuff, but in terms of a guy who knows how to pitch and get out of jams and all that stuff, he's a true relief pitcher in that sense, almost like a throwback to the days of, you'd select the Roger McDowells of the world and guys who, maybe didn't have the, 98 mile an hour fastball, but they knew how to get outs. And I look at those kind of guys and Smith has been there. He's bounced around forever, all these different teams, all these different spots. He had a good run with the Indians, but yeah, good for them. I think the Astros are looking for Yequini. They're looking for Forrest Whitley, maybe Josh James. That's a lot to ask with the three.
I think they're looking for one to two
of those. And I think Josh James is better suited to the bullpen.
Who the heck else is going to start for them?
I don't know, man, unless they get a pitcher in a Carlos Correa deal, which I think that's the most likely thing. I really do. Okay. I think they're going to look for somebody else that they can pluck away and say, we can turn that guy into gold because we're the Astros and he's good, but we can make him great. And if we get a shortstop back too at the same time or just move Bregman around or whatever we end up doing, they have such flexibility with Bregman that they can really just go after the pitcher and then figure out third base. They really can.
Yeah, they their starters 1-2 are as good as any team, but they have very rarely over the last 5 years gone into at least January where I can't tell you who.
I think you're right. They're waiting.
Count on three.
Well, look,
four,
you keep
five.
Forgetting about McCullers too. I think they have.
I don't think you can count on that.
I don't think you can count on it, but I think they are. I think for better.
Oh yeah,
or worse,
he's going to be starting for them, but I mean, how many innings, Joe? 100, 18 starts like that. That's it's not going to be more than that coming off.
They're looking at 130. I think that's what they have their idea on.
That's a high number for Tommy John guy.
I'm not saying it's not a high number, but I'm saying if you ask me what I think they have their sights on it,
They're going to have to get somebody else that can throw 150. Because then, by the way, you're counting on, and again, it's a fair count on, but you're counting on 200 from Verlander and Greinke. There's nothing to state that that wouldn't happen, but what if? Like, they have to be prepared. And the other part of that, in the trade with Greinke, they traded their second round pick, Corbin Martin, from Texas A&M, who I think is going to be a star, traded him to Arizona. Their first round pick, J.B. Bukauskas, a couple years ago, he could be in their rotation this year from North Carolina. Traded both of those guys away. They have a couple of other guys, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I got to look this up, because they have a couple of other guys that they told me about last year that there was one sleeper that could be in the rotation. I got to look into that a little
bit. Well, look, here's who's left on the free agent market, who, I mean, I don't know if you can count on Hyunjin Ryu for innings, but certainly he was very good last year.
He's not going there.
You know who I think would be a great fit for them if they do believe that they can turn everybody into gold is Julio Teheran. Because Julio Teheran has these moments where you go, he's pretty good. And these are the moments where you go, man, what happened to him? And that's kind of been the story of his career. And he's 29, which is kind of the same age that you've gotten some of these other guys to come in there and start to turn things around. Teheran, to me, would be a fascinating one. I mean, look, they even got a good run out of Aaron Sanchez last year, for God's sakes, at a certain point. But there's a guy that I think fits what they would want to do. And you talk about innings and the need. The one thing about Teheran you could say is that dude shows up every year and gives you 180 innings. He's giving you 30.
The guy who is going to be in their rotation, this will be a good sleeper for you, Joe, is Brandon Bielak, B-I-E-L-A-K.
Yep.
That's the guy. That's the guy. He will be in their rotation. He'll be their fifth starter. He was close last year, and I think that he moved, even though in the prospect rankings, I don't know that you would have him. I mean, some people.
Well, we do 100 of them. I'll have to pull him up where he is in the book. But
yeah, Bielak will be Bielak, I would say, will make 15 starts, big league starts for the Houston Astros this season. That's the guy that I want you to.
But if you want innings, you get Teheran as your three. You move McCullers to four. Then you can play around with Bielak at five, or you could play around with, you know, Forrest Whitley or whoever else. You take a lot of pressure off the innings.
I don't think James is a starter.
I'm with you, dude. I'm with you 100% on that. And I think he's going to be a hell of a reliever. Like, he could be an elite closer. I think he's that good, maybe, potentially.
Yeah, he lives 10 minutes from there. All right, we got to take a quick time out on Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away. Plenty more fantasy discussion when we come back, including it's time for Florida Man. Don't go away.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of Cal Hope, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere. These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of Cal Hope, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia. And now it's time on Fantasy Sports Today to see what's going on in the Sunshine State with Florida Man.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. It's our rite of passage here every Tuesday as we dive into some of the best stories in Florida Man. And by the way, coming up, Joe and I will have our year in fantasy review. And as part of that, we will have the best of the year in Florida Man on this show. Looking forward to doing that. I saw a couple nice pieces of the craziest Florida man stories. I want to make sure I include that, but we'll have that coming up next week or the week after. But let's get started here. These are the stories that happen in Florida, only Florida, and involve a Florida man. Story number one, a Florida man's repeated failure to quench his thirst, Joe, with a stolen bottle of Pepsi has gone viral after investigators released surveillance video showing his persistence. Polk County office posted footage of a man inside a Citgo gas station showing him grabbing a bottle of Pepsi of a shelf near the door. The man could be seen trying to leave the store without paying for the bottle. Cashier noticed, pushed a button that remotely locked the door. The man then, trying to escape with the soda bottle, threw his body against the door. When that failed, he picked up a fire extinguisher, slammed it against the door. Nothing he tried would work. Sheriff's office quoted by saying he huffed and he puffed, but he could not blow that door down. Deputies say eventually they unlocked the door. They thought he would cause further damage over a silly Pepsi, but they did find him two blocks away from the gas station enjoying the beverage, arrested for charged with grand theft of a fire extinguisher. And then, of course, smaller theft, $1,500 bond, Joe, for a man just trying to steal a Pepsi, a thirsty man.
Yeah, you paid a lot more money for that Pepsi. You should have just paid the 99 cents or whatever it is. Just to, you know, if I was Pepsi, I'm making this a holiday commercial. You know, the guy who just can't, he just must have the Pepsi. I want it. I need it. I have no money, but I need the Pepsi. And at the end, when the cops come over to him two blocks away and he's sitting there on the corner and he's finishing the Pepsi and they say, was it worth it? And he says, yeah, it was worth it.
Every taste.
Every drop. By the way, I don't know.
You should be working for your marketing. You should go.
I know, man. I'm a marketing genius. That's how I became Mr. Black Book in the first place. Did you see Pepsi has a new product coming out on the market next year? I did see that this morning on the news.
I did not, Joe. No.
It is Pepsi with twice the amount of caffeine. It's a coffee soda flavored Pepsi.
Ooh.
So it's a coffee cola. Well, here's the only thing I'll say to that. This is, now you are from Brooklyn originally, correct? Am I correct in saying that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long did you grow up there before you moved somewhere? Okay, so you were really little. So you probably don't. I don't know if you remember this. I don't know if this is a thing in your neighborhood, but it was a very big thing in my neighborhood at the block parties. And I actually just had one over the holidays. My parents brought me some Manhattan Special. It's not a sex act. I know it sounds like it, but it's not. It's actually a coffee soda. It's an espresso coffee soda. And it's made in Brooklyn with Brooklyn water. That's why it tastes so damn good. Mm-hmm. And I like to call it liquid gold. It is delicious. It's fantastic. And we need that little pick me up on a Sunday night after doing TV in the morning. And you need a little buzz to get you through the Sunday night game. Boom. You pop one of those. So I'm cautiously optimistic about this Pepsi with the extra caffeine. It might be good.
Okay.
Because I don't like to have the hot coffee at night. I'm not a big fan of that, but sometimes you need that little buzz, and I don't want to do those energy drinks, but
yeah, that's what I do. Yeah.
You do those energy drink things? That's bad stuff for you.
Red Bull. Yeah, Red Bull.
Mm-hmm. You do the sugar-free Red Bull, I assume, because you're like a healthy guy.
Oh, no. Wow. No, I'll do probably, how many Red Bulls a week will I have? I'm trying to think. I'll probably have 3 Red Bulls a week. Sounds about right. Like, I'll have one on a Monday, then I won't on a Tuesday, and then I will on a Wednesday, I won't on a Thursday. You know, like, I space it out. But right. Yeah, I don't think I'll have 5 in a week, but like, I'll have 3, maybe 4 over a 7-day period.
Are you a coffee drinker?
In the morning, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, I just have my one cup of coffee a day. If I have a second cup of coffee in the afternoon, you know that, like, you know, stay away from me like that. That's a bad scene.
Bad kind of day. All right. Story number two. This is in Hudson, Florida. Admittedly, don't know where Hudson is. Never heard of it. Never seen it. OK, so this is a new one for me. A man in Pasco County is facing charges for having a gun illegally after he shot himself in the leg while playing cowboy, according to the sheriff's office. Matt, a 36-year-old man, was arrested after deputies visited him in the hospital. He was being treated for the gunshot wound. He told deputies he was shot while in the woods by an unknown person, according to the arrest report. The deputies say the exit and entrance wound in the leg didn't match the story. So eventually he told deputies he did lie because he wasn't supposed to have the gun. He said he was playing cowboy with a 22 caliber revolver, when it accidentally went off. He was arrested for being a felon in possession of a firearm, taken to Lando Lakes Detention Center without incident. So,
Lando Lakes Detention Center, is that where they make the butter?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, it's actually correct. Yeah.
In the detention center? Is that what those guys
in
do?
The detention center.
Yeah, you go to jail. You're going to go away for a long time, kid. You're going to make butter for the rest of your life for the next 25 years.
Yeah.
25 years.
Well, how about this? On the subject of butter, here's story number three.
Wait a minute. I don't even know if I digested this one. Wait a minute. What is playing cowboy?
This is
cowboy?
The one to stay away from. This is the
what
one.
What about now playing cowboy by yourself? Like, is he by himself? Did he have friends playing cowboy?
There was no explanation of this. By the way, our show here, and I got the email the other day from Mike Cardano, is PG-13. So I want to make sure that when I read these stories, you guys understand that I'm keeping them PG-13. I'm not going
to. I don't think that email was directed at you. I just want to. I know it wasn't directed. I don't think so. I don't think.
Well, I follow the
PG-13 envelope.
I follow the rules. That's right. I'm a rule follower.
Or okay. People die. Yeah.
So here's story number three, which is definitely on the verge of PG-13, maybe even worse. After his, this is in Winter Haven, Florida. After his photo circulated online, Florida man accused of helping himself in the toy section of a Walmart. Why are guys always doing this at a Walmart? I don't get it. 19-year-old, I'm reading this guy's name, Elias Allen Arturo Floor, turned himself to Winter Haven Police Department Saturday night after investigators shared his photo and asked the community to help identify this man. He committed a lewd act in front of a 12-year-old boy while at a Walmart in Winter Haven. According to police, he was hanging around a woman. She was looking at items on the shelves. The boy, who was standing beside the cart, told his mother what happened, but the man took off. And she couldn't spot him. Police said that they captured the video and found the man. Winter Haven police said this situation is absolutely sickening. I applaud the child's bravery to speak up and give details that gave information. We could get it to the media that assisted us with the arrest of the subject. And he was arrested and charged with battery. But I know that this is like, you know, kind of comedic in a way. But why are these guys going to Walmart? Like, you have your own house. Like, I'm just not understanding this at all, man. Like, this.
Yeah, but Walmart's got all that stuff. Got all the, you know, it's got all those sales. So sales, you know, the rollbacks really get some guys going. But I would say this is the opposite of the Pepsi thing. I would not turn this into a commercial. I would not turn this into an ad.
Thank you.
Just want to make sure that you understand that if you bring this ad to my agency, I'm going to say, no, I'm going to turn you away. Whereas the Pepsi one, the guy trying to break out, he's like, I got to have this Pepsi. I need it. No, this is not what Walmart wants around the holidays, especially. It's just terrible. And you know what? It's horrible for the kid, but good for the kid that he said, hey, that's wrong. You're wrong. Stranger danger. Damn it. But yeah, Walmart is a weird place. You're in Florida. You, I assume, hit up the Walmart, whether you like it or not, once in a while, correct?
Yeah, they're actually when. So there's a few Walmarts. There's one that is semi close to my house, which I don't really go that often. But then there is one near my kid's school. And so what I'll do is I kind of like I'll look around the house like and if we before I leave, because I'm usually the pickup person for school. And right. If I notice that there's something that we really need, but I don't want to either take my son and daughter to shop and I can knock it out beforehand, what I'll do is I'll, you know, leave 10 minutes early, go to Walmart, get it, then go pick them up. So this way I know I don't have to go back out later or my wife doesn't have to go back out later. That's kind of the way that I go there. What do I buy there? It would be a toy maybe, because there's no Toys R Us anymore. So it'd be like a toy for my son, who's really not.
It's a real bummer, isn't it? Around the holidays, there's no Toys R Us. I used to go and bang out all the
year for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Last year up here, we didn't have one last year either. They shut down.
Oh, they got rid of ours in May.
Yeah, it just, you know, it sucks, man. I mean, no toy store for kids. What's the world coming to? I mean, we can't figure out a way to get some kids some toys, for God's sake.
Well, I will say this about that. Look, I agree with you. It is kind of sad. I can't say that I really miss it all that much. It is different now not having it. But the frustration that I have with the shopping, and I'm not a complainer, but when it comes to the shopping, and I've noticed this, Joe, I'm finding myself in stores, whether it's the Apple store that I went to last week, and they did a good job and took care of us, but the Apple store, or a Walmart or a Target or anywhere else or Best Buy, I find myself online and annoyed and thinking, you know what? I don't have to be here. I could probably have done it from my house and I could have it and I don't have to sit online and wait for somebody to shop. And
time of day is everything with those places. Time of day is everything.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, you go at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday in one of these spots, you go in, you go out, the whole store's to yourself. You go on a Saturday at 2 o'clock, forget it. You want to kill yourself.
My son wanted the Xbox, you know, so I went to Best Buy. Like, I'm trying to ask the guy. There's no one there to really answer the questions. It's like, you know,
I recommend the specialty stores for things. Like, if you're getting video games, just go to GameStop, because GameStop is the easier place to go do all that. If you need, you know, the books, you go right to the Barnes and Noble. You don't go like to the mega stores trying to get everything. It seems like it's going to be easier, but you're better off getting in and out of your car and driving to three different places than waiting online for an hour.
You're probably right.
That's where it goes. I try to do all my holiday shopping before Thanksgiving. And then after Thanksgiving, it's like odds and ends for, like, you know, the stocking stuffers or this or that. Like, I try to get everything done. That way I'm not annoyed around like December.
Life lessons.
No stores.
Joe Pizzapia.
That's right.
Only you could help me in fantasy. That's what I really need.
Hey, you're in the championship, aren't you?
I am in the championship.
You only played, what, three leagues this year, didn't you?
I played in the Raz Bowl. I was horrible. I played in a contract league that I was horrible. I played in the guillotine league that went okay. My home league, I finished 7-6 with Lamar Jackson and Sanders, but our stupid rules did not have me advancing, so right. I got beat out in a tiebreaker. And then in the Phillies league, yeah, we're in the championship.
How would you have done this week in that league? But I'm just curious, like, did you have a lot of good players in that league?
I would have gotten to the championship in the 7-6 league. But I would have Godwin. I'd be done.
This is you know, next year in the Football Black Book, the you know, I used to do like a little missive in the beginning. One year it was about, you know, everybody should really consider doing Superflex. It's a better way to utilize things. It's a better way to utilize a talent pool. It changes around, gets you, you know, saves you from injuries, ruining seasons at the running back position, which happens a lot. This year it's all going to be about all play and going to all play schedules where everybody plays everybody every week. It's a much more fair format.
It's and like then Roto. You really.
Well, it's not like Roto because you're not chasing categories. So it's all play. It's still head to head. You still set your lineup and play every week. It's not like Roto. I play Roto football too with IDP in no less. So there's like sacks and forced fumbles and all that stuff too.
Gotcha.
But to do all play really does reward the best of the best. We did it in my baseball league the last couple of years, and we have a 16 team head to head points baseball league. And the last 2 years, the top four scoring teams or best record teams all made it to the last four teams. And through the playoffs, which are also two rounds of playoffs, 2 weeks, because baseball, you know, in baseball, you don't want that one guy who's lined up great 1 week just happen to steamroll you because you got like three guys going twice. That's not really helpful in the playoffs. So you extend it over 2 weeks. And I'll tell you, we are rewarding the best teams because I thought the four best teams were at the final four and I thought the best two teams were in the final. So Chris Meany and I were on the outside looking in, but we almost got to the finals, he and him. We were in the top four. But all play football. Stop complaining about being the second highest scoring team and losing. All play. Yep. So easy.
All right. Well, how did we go from Florida Man to this? I'm not sure. But what we'll do is we will wrap up the best of the first hour coming up next, and then hour number two of Fantasy Sports Today in just a few minutes. Don't go away.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHOPE, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHOPE at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. HOPE will persevere. These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHOPE, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHOPE at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. HOPE will persevere.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As we wrap up the first hour of the show, here's what you missed.
Now, Seattle looks like they're going to be down another wide receiver, so we'll see what happens here. But it's going to be a fun playoff race because I do believe these NFC teams are very close. And I agree with you 100% that Baltimore is the class of the NFL right now. And I think the only team, or should I say the team that has the best chance of beating them, is actually the Chiefs, because Mahomes can make magical things happen. He is such an incredible talent. And I think if you get into a score fest with him, he has a puncher's chance.
Super Bowl, also wacky things happen. You don't necessarily know. But yeah, I do think I feel like the Saints season is going to play out like the way that the last two have, where we'll be in a game. There'll be 2 minutes left. The score will be tied, you know, like it always is. And then something happens and it'll either be good or it'll be bad for the Saints. But they don't really put a lot of teams away. If they're always like in all these games because their defense hasn't played great.
They give up big plays more. That's, you know, it's funny. You look at the way it happens too. It's always big plays. And that's been the thing. It was that game against the Rams, even in the regular season last year, which was a really fun game, but big play after big play. And every time, you know, the Saints would come back and answer, they give up another big play, and you just can't do that. You just can't.
Play well against Carolina a couple of weeks ago. They gave 31 points to them, and that was, you know, with Kyle Allen not playing well, they still gave up a ton of points. So
some team is going to get hot here.
I
don't know who it is, but somebody's going to get hot. Maybe it is the Saints. We'll find out.
Maybe.
If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere. If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.